Live from Boston, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics with occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by same-sex marriage supporter Scott Miller, same-sex marriage opponent Brian Kemenaker, and lesbians Chris Finn and MJ Noel, who will wed tomorrow in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and reporter Carrie Ann Rodriguez from WTAG in Worcester, who will join us later in the broadcast. Our program tonight coming to you from our studios of WRKO in Boston, Massachusetts, the Entercom station in Boston. Our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btbtalk@AOL.com, and it's nice to have you with us. And of course, this is a historic broadcast in that tomorrow in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, they will be issuing same-sex marriage licenses. It will be one of our topics for this evening, the primary discussion for the next 2 hours on this broadcast. It was 50 years ago today that Brown versus the Board of Education became the law of the land in the United States, and so we want to make mention of that at the beginning of the program. There are many people throughout this listening audience that want to equate those two. That will be one thing we'll talk about this evening, and also yesterday, having an opportunity to sort of sightsee around Boston. It's been many years since I've been here. I had an opportunity to go out and have a most entertaining tour guide, and he made the point also reminding everybody that it was the Bay State, Massachusetts, that was the first state to abolish slavery. And so this state, our Commonwealth, has a place in U.S. history for a variety of reasons. We all know the obvious reasons. So we are here in the Bay State today to talk about what is going to transpire of historic proportions tomorrow. And let me begin with Scott Allen Miller, who's the morning co-host on WRKO. Scott, you support same-sex marriage. Why?
Well, I don't see any rational reason why an entire group of innocent, law-abiding, tax-paying Americans should be treated differently from the rest of us. I've been married for 12 years to my wife, and I know gay couples who are just as moral, just as hardworking, just as good of people as we are, if not better, who've been in relationships, committed relationships longer. I can't justify why their relationships are not equal to the one I have with my wife.
Brian Kemenaker is also with us. He is director of the Article 8 Alliance. Brian, you speak for a lot of people in the Commonwealth and people all over the country who oppose this idea. Why?
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting. If this is such a good idea, how come they can't do it legitimately? How come they have to, you know, find, you know, four unelected public officials to essentially read something into the Massachusetts Constitution that doesn't exist? You know, if it's such a good idea, why can't they pass it through the legislature and have it done legitimately? The civil rights movement was done through legitimate legal means. This was completely legitimate, an activist court forcing on the people that it could not do otherwise.
Scott, your response.
Well, again, you bring up Brown versus Board of Ed, and that was 9 unelected judges who unanimously decided that separate was not equal. And although some people don't like the civil rights comparison here, the court has found that marriage is a fundamental civil right, and it doesn't make sense to deny a group of people this civil right of marriage when there's really no harm done by it. There's no victim here.
Brian?
Well, I mean, again, wrapping this up in the civil rights movement was able to stand on its own. You know, it had legitimate law behind it. This is not legitimate law. It's just made up. And there is really no such thing as a class of people. You know, up until 50 years ago, the whole term homosexual hardly existed, because what you have is individuals in various, you know, situations of sexual dysfunction, internal problems, read any gay, gay newspaper, and you have this whole array of sexual issues, from spanking to what have you.
The media of the world are here in Massachusetts covering what's going to be transpiring. In fact, beginning at midnight tonight, there are some municipalities who are going to be issuing licenses. My question to you is, to many people listening around the country, this issue is going to be over tomorrow. But the reality is, it's just starting. The fight has just begun, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, first of all, these aren't real marriages. No, I mean, the law can say, yes, they're married, but they're not married. But There's a bill of address in the Massachusetts legislature, which is part of the checks and balances of the Massachusetts Constitution, meant for this exact situation when judges flip out, when they do not interpret the law properly. And this will go through, the judges will be removed, and sanity will come back to Massachusetts.
Is that the way you see it, Scott?
Well, even if you remove the judges, you're still going to have gay marriage tomorrow. So it's a reality. We need to wake up to that. You can remove those four judges. It doesn't change a thing.
Well, tomorrow obviously it doesn't, because it may take a few weeks to do that. But it will.
If the judges go, I mean, the decisions they've made are not overturned, are they?
Well, the way legal experts look at this is it is a de facto statement that what they did was completely out of bounds, and the governor and the legislature, or either one, can make an executive order saying marriage is what it always has been and you cannot stand in our way.
Why in your view has this issue moved so fast? Scott, I want to get your response. This issue has moved in a rapid fire way. Why and how has it moved so fast?
Well,
six or 8 months ago, people are still debating whether or not anti-discrimination laws should exist in most of the states of the United States. And here, Massachusetts is moving towards gay marriage.
That is true. And Brown versus Board of Ed is still not without controversy, isn't it?
Right.
Why has it happened? I think it really snowballed. It started with the June Supreme Court ruling on sodomy.
In Texas
back in June. And then this decision, it came down in what, November or December or whatever. When that happened, all of a sudden it was in our face. There was an attempt in Massachusetts a while back to ban gay marriage, and at the legislative level it failed for various political reasons. And so a lot of people, I think even though that happened, they thought, well, you know, that's never going to happen. It's just a kind of a possibility. There's no way that will happen. Here it is. It's in our face, and people are alarmed about it. I think that's why it's so urgent now.
Brian, give me the answer to the same question. This thing has really moved fast. Why and how? How did it happen?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this were it not for an unbelievable propaganda machine, generally through the media, Boston Globe, talking about this. I think what happened is this court decision happened, and nobody really believed it, you know. And it went through with this ridiculous constitutional amendment process with our legislature, which was completely disgracefully, you know, handled that. And still people didn't really believe it. They didn't believe that something this bizarre or lunatic could take place.
And what is the role of the governor in the last year on this issue?
Well, the unofficial role of the governor is to basically, you know, roll over and play dead. You know, Mitt Romney appears to be trying to please everybody, and he may be an incredibly good businessman, but as a politician, he leaves a lot to be desired. The governor should have stepped forward, should have said, you know, this is a ridiculous order, it's illegitimate, and I'm standing in the way of it. But he didn't do that.
And the principal thing that he's done is he said that if you live outside the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, your marriages would not be recognized. You're not basically welcome.
In other words, he said obey the law.
Yeah, and again, there's some debate on that, and we'll talk about that as we roll on. 1-800-723-8289. Take America's Political Pulse tonight from Boston on the subject of gay marriage in Massachusetts. It becomes legal at midnight tonight. How do you feel? 1-800-723-8289. Back live from Boston shortly.
Season 2 of the Emmy Award-winning West Wing on DVD.
Multiple gunshots were fired in President Bartlett.
The season that began with a bullet.
Is the president dead?
And the tension never let up.
I need a doctor! I need help!
On DVD, see footage never shown in the original broadcast. A tour of the Oval Office.
Welcome to the White House.
An introspective look at the making of an episode. And much more.
The day's over, Toby. We'll live to fight another one.
Buy The West Wing, the complete second season, Tuesday on DVD. And also available, the complete first season.
Only one army believes it can win a war. Plain children's games. Please support Salvation Army summer camps and youth programs. To donate, call 1-800-SALARMY or donate online at 1-800-SALARMY.org. We can't win the war without you.
Cambridge, Massachusetts to Santa Monica, California. You are listening to Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thank you for joining us tonight. 1-800-723-8289 coming tonight from the studios of WRKO, the talk station, AM 680 in Boston. Let's go to a telephone call. Let's go to Pat listening to us on WoWo in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go ahead, Pat. You're on the air.
Thank you. First of all, this issue of gay marriage has nothing to do with the Brown versus Board of Education. Brown versus Board of Education was to give equal rights to blacks who are personages, just the same as whites or anybody else are personages. Gay marriage is, well, gay union is not marriage. It's a contractual issue. They live together, and I think this is a Democrat plot. They want to get the votes of the gays, so they give the gays some what they want.
But the Democrats, for the most part, already have the votes. Already have the votes of the gays.
Okay,
by the way, when we look in the state of Massachusetts, Scott, what is the politics of this? I mean, at least what I've been reading, it seems to me that a lot of conservative Democrats, you know, are against this.
Well, there were Democrats who supported gay marriage. There were Democrats who didn't. There were Republicans who supported gay marriage, and there were Republicans who didn't. And then there's another faction, and that's part of what made the Constitutional Convention here a while back so interesting. It was really a three-faction convention, because there was another faction that wanted civil unions, or at least would have put up with the compromise of civil unions, depending on how you define that. So it was really all over. It really wasn't much of a partisan issue, I don't think, from what I saw. It was across party lines. It was more of what some people would call conservative versus liberal.
Do you see it? Do you see it that way, Brian?
Well, generally, I'd see it a little differently. But he's generally correct. Republicans and Democrats were equally involved in proportions. But I think that at the beginning of this thing, if you had asked each person, "Do you want gay marriage? Do you want civil unions?" Most of them would have said no. As the convention went on, the cowardice that went through this whole thing, and I even talked to the president of the Senate personally, and many others, they just wanted to get out of it. They were spooked. They were all willing to throw their principles overboard and just get anything they could to get out of there. They're all a bunch of cowards, basically.
And in your position, I mean, civil unions is not a backup position for you. You're opposed to civil unions
if these are actual legitimate, you know, unions that you could have civil unions, you might as well let them get married. That's the way we see it. I mean, if these homosexual couplings have any healthy, legitimate and non-destructive thing to them, well, why not let them get married? The problem is that that's, you know, that's part of the propaganda machine. You know, if you look at the actual statistics, you'll see a lot different.
What is the public's input from this point on? What does the public do next if they're vehemently opposed to this, in your view, Scott? Where does this next, as I said, tomorrow is not the end. It really is the beginning.
Well, just in some people's eyes, the Constitutional Convention that convened a little while back, they came up with a plan to say it's marriage between a man and a woman, but civil unions that guarantee the exact same rights and responsibilities and protections to gay couples would also be created. Now, that has to, after an interceding election, that has to be brought up again by another constitutional convention, and then if that is ratified again, then the voters can vote. Brian here also is leading a movement. He believes that could recall the four judges that may have an impact on it later on.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a call. Let's go to Rick, line three, listening to us on WLS in Chicago. Go ahead. You're on the air, Rick.
Hey, Bruce. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Before I comment on the gay marriage thing, just wanted to say that I think you guys have a great show. I listen to you every week. My question tonight is for the panel, and I guess my question is about polygamy. And if the Supreme Court can rule that marriage doesn't have to exist between a man and a woman, but can be between a man and a man, can it also rule that marriage does not need to exist between two people, but possibly three, four, and five?
All right. Scott, is that a concern that you have?
No. It's not, because the court does, the law does have various limitations on marriage. You can't marry your first cousin, for example. There's they say in legal language, a compelling state interest in preventing that from happening because of the problems that could result from inbreeding. Polygamy also has its own public health implications that we could go into if you'd like. That's where the state has an interest. what the Supreme Judicial Court here in Massachusetts found was there was no compelling state interest in keeping marriage limited to only one man and one woman. But you couldn't do one man and one man or one woman and one woman. There was no logic to that. So the consistency here is, if you're going to allow someone to choose another consenting adult to marry, you have to let them choose whatever consenting adult they want, unless there is a compelling state interest, like their cousins or brothers or sisters.
Brian, do you think that this is the slippery slope we're on?
Well, yeah, I think he's mistaken. The words compelling state interest were found nowhere in the decision. What they said, that there was no rational reason to keep two people of the same sex from marrying. From that same logic, there's no rational reason to keep three people of the same sex.
What does, in your view, the term life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness mean for someone who's gay?
Well, I mean, the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are not in the Constitution, obviously. They're in the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
What they mean is...
Which is pretty important.
...is a frame of government that allows people to essentially... pursue their life without tyranny. On the other hand, the same people that wrote those words understood that a government without moral structure, and I hate to use that word here in this immoral area, but a government without this kind of structure soon becomes despotic. You cannot have a government exist without a certain kind of order like that. And so that's what they meant, and they knew exactly what they were talking about.
Scott,
I would question the moral structure of any government that says some people are allowed to do this and get married. Other people who do no harm to anyone else, they can't. To me, that's not moral.
Let's go to Denver, line 5. Bruce is listening to us on KNRC. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you?
I would like to just throw something out on the table that you hear. I heard it driving in on actually another talk radio of these two preachers debating the morality of this issue, pro and con, and the terms keep getting thrown out, like depriving a group of people of their humanity and depriving Americans of their constitutional rights. And, you know, we could devote a whole issue just to this subject, but for brevity's sake, when we define what we issue a license for in America, that's a, you know, like a fishing license or a driver's license or a marriage license. That's something issued by official decree. And
by the state.
The fact that a blind man can't physically qualify for a driver's license doesn't make him less human. I defy anyone to walk up to a blind man and say, oh, you're deprived of your humanity or you're deprived of your constitutional rights. Well, he's not. That's preposterous. He's not physically qualified for that license. And up to now, two men and two women have not been physically qualified for this government-issued license.
Scott's got a comment for you. He's shaking his head as you speak, Bruce.
I'm not sure what the physical requirements for marriage are. I don't see the analogy.
One had to be female and one had to be male. They had to be over a certain age even.
Right, but I don't understand the analogy with the blind man and the driver's license. There's a compelling state interest in keeping people who can't see from driving cars. There's no compelling state interest in keeping lesbians or gay men from being married. There's no compelling state interest.
Bruce, do you believe there should be equality of benefits for all people? Should all people be treated insofar as benefits are concerned?
No, I don't. And you get into the different discussion there. You can get into the cost to society. You know, we passed helmet laws not really because there was a constitutional reason to keep people safe from their stupidity. We did it because we got tired of paying for their stupidity.
One of the things that we hear, Brian, is that that those who are vehemently opposed to it feel that this is really, it's an attack on the sanctity of marriage. Isn't divorce a greater attack on the sanctity of marriage?
Well, I mean, it's sort of an interesting argument. Divorce has always been around, and it hasn't affected marriage by it happening. I think that the general sexual revolution had a lot of, a lot of problems with marriage. I don't necessarily subscribe to the argument of sanctity of marriage going to be going to be a problem. I think it's a much larger issue of, you know, the whole homosexual movement has been very, very destructive. I mean, I've got two kids in the public schools where they have Gay Day and Transgender Day, and a day where a guy gives an assembly talking about how he's about to have his penis cut off so he can become a woman. This whole thing is part of the movement.
In your public school?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in my public school. You read any of the gay literature, any of the gay, you know, pick up any of the gay newspapers, and it doesn't just talk about this one thing. It's this whole range of various sexual issues, you know, as I said, from spanking, S&M, transgenderism. It's very, very bizarre stuff. The problem is that these are people who are tragically involved with issues inside of themselves. The average gay liaison is, what, a year and a half or something? You know, and the kinds of diseases and problems that are... Talk to any inner-city medical person.
But is the average a year and a half or less, and the promiscuous style is one of the reasons why they may feel that there's no future there? And is it possible that if there were unions, that it would stabilize the gay community? That's the question. We've got to pause, give you a chance to respond to it.
Okay.
And also we'll take callers. 1-800-723-8029. Take America's Political Pulse from coast to coast on the subject of gay marriage. It's going to become legal in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts starting at midnight tonight. It'll be on all the newscasts. Wherever you turn on the radio or TV tomorrow, you're going to read about it, talk about it, and you'll get a chance to talk about it right now. 1-800-723-8029. Tonight, live from Boston, I'm Bruce Dumont.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis and eczema for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, is the only treatment I've used that actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch, no more bleeding, and I haven't had a flare-up since I started using it. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc is the only product that's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't. It's really the closest thing to a medical miracle.
Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 1-800-881-6317. Active ingredient is FDA approved. Call 1-800-881-6317. Instant satisfaction. 1-800-881-6317. Call now. 1-800-881-6317.
We'll be right back.
From Seattle, Washington to Youngstown, Ohio, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway. And a reminder, everybody listening to us on WKBN in Youngstown, we will be there on the Sunday night before Labor Day as we take the pulse of one of the battleground states, Ohio, battling for their electoral votes. And we will be there on the Sunday before Memorial Day. So plan ahead. We are talking this evening with Scott Allen Miller. He is the morning co-host here on WRKO in Boston. And also we're joined by Brian Kamacher. He is the director of the Article 8 Alliance. That is one of the groups leading the fight against gay marriage. And he's not given up that fight, even though at midnight tonight in some cities and towns around the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, they will be issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. We're going to go to calls in just a moment. Before the break, Brian, I asked the question, is it possible that after several years, it's not going to happen instantly, after several years of a gay marriage opportunity, that maybe it would introduce an era of prolonged relationships within the gay community that maybe would greatly reduce promiscuity and some of the things of a health nature that are of concern to you and public health officials?
Well, I think that's pretty much impossible given the nature of homosexual relationships. I mean, it is in many ways an addiction to, you know, certain sexual activity with men, other issues going on with women, you know, anger, things like that. And the problem isn't that the laws are wrong. The problem is the root of how this happens and the root of the individuals who are often molested as kids or had some trauma in their lives and are doing this.
So you think that's the core reason for it all?
Well, it's a very complicated thing. A great many people who engage in this kind of behavior were raped as kids. Much larger than the average person.
Speaking of that, and then we're going to go to calls, but I want to get the assessment because Brian, you have said, at least in the conversation we had before we went on the air, you said that the Catholic Church has not been as aggressive. They have not used the political muscle that one would think they would have in a city like Boston, in a state like Massachusetts. And one of the reasons why they may have been somewhat mute is because of the problems that they've undergone for the last 3 to 5 years, which the world all knows about. Scott, what can you say about, as a political powerhouse, what has been the role of the Catholic Church? Have they flexed all their muscles in this, or are they fighting with their arms tied behind their back?
I think there were a lot of elected officials, at least during the Constitutional Convention, who were very concerned about the implications, the religious implications of gay marriage, and they said so. The Archbishop spoke at a rally on Boston Common right next to the State House. But I don't think I could say it any better than one protester said on his sign that it said, "My pedophile priest is against gay marriage." I think that pretty well said it all as far as the credibility issue goes. But to address something real quickly that Brian said, he's talking about the homosexuality really is not an identity. It's more or less just a bunch of sexual dysfunctions. I don't think the state has any business getting into people's bedrooms and determining what kind of activity is done by this couple and that couple. There's nothing that gay people do that straight people don't do. Nothing. Not a single sex act that straight people don't do. This is a canard that's brought up oftentimes. It's not any of my business whether somebody wants to use a rope or a riding crop or whatever their kinky tastes are, straight or gay. I could care less.
Brian, well, do you agree with that?
You know, it's interesting. The homosexual community, maybe it happens in the so-called straight community, but it probably happens 100 times more or 1,000 times more. I would agree with
him. But that's a guess. There's no evidence.
All you have to do is go into any gay bookstore. That's all they ever talk about. Or open up any gay magazine or go in any gay movie. That's the main theme. That's half the stuff that comes, you know, the public school stuff. But, you know, if in fact the state doesn't have a business in that, then why are we changing the marriage laws here if this stuff is objectively unhealthy?
Let's go to line 5. Charlene is listening to us on WRKO in the Bay State. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I don't understand what anybody can have a problem with gay marriage for, and the facts that are being put out just don't seem to be being backed up. I think that heterosexual people are promiscuous these days too, and I don't know that gay people are any more than our heterosexual teenagers who are getting pregnant in high school at amazing rates. I mean, what is the difference?
What's the difference, Brian?
Well, you know, that's somewhat of an illogical argument. The problem is that homosexual relationships themselves are objectively and innately unhealthy. They're
Why?
Unhealthy medically, physically, psychologically, not, you know, for the people doing them. You know, it's interesting. The most dangerous person that a so-called gay man could get in contact with is another gay man for 100 different reasons, including domestic violence. But just doing it is takes 25 years
what
off of your life.
What should happen to homosexuals? How should they, if you were to wave a magic wand and what's going to start at midnight tonight wouldn't happen, how should they act in our society?
Well,
what rights should they have? What rights should they not have?
I mean, I think rights, you know, I mean, all homosexuals or, you know, people who call themselves homosexuals have the right to drive, the right to vote, all of these rights. This whole business of gay rights is another interesting, you know, bit of rhetoric.
What about medical decisions? What about if there is a committed couple and one person wants to make sure that his or her partner has visitation rights during the closing days of their life? Should they have it or not?
I mean, again, that is constantly brought up. And in fact, these
Isn't that a logical question?
Well, you know, it's a little bit illogical because, in fact, you can have powers of attorney for all of this stuff. You know, I mean, if these people are in one of these relationships, it all exists.
Is it that simple, Scott?
No.
Why not?
You'd have to go to get the same rights that my wife and I got when we went down to the mayor's office and filled out a piece of paper. A gay couple would have to fill out hundreds of pieces of paper to get the same exact rights and responsibilities and protections. And even then, it's not the same. It's close, but it's not the same.
Margaret, on WLS in Chicago, line one, go ahead. You're on the air.
I have a different point to bring up. I'm neither for it nor against it.
Okay.
And I bring up the point that you are always talking about marriage as if it's strictly a sexual relationship. How about someone, let's say a person who wants to marry their own daughter so that the daughter can inherit the pension, get the health insurance, all the benefits? That's what a lot of this is about, is giving a partner benefits. As in a marriage, your wife takes your health insurance, your wife gets your pension when you die.
It is
benefits of that nature.
It is part of the benefit issue. However, I think in the case of incest, I don't think anyone, you know, and even an earlier caller suggests, you know, the slippery slope argument. And again, I would say the answer to the question is in, you know, in the year 2004, no way. But one of the realities, if you know, if 25, 50, 75 years from now, there's a constituency group that flexes its muscles, maybe that could happen. It's not likely to happen, but again, part of this is about political muscle as well. Wouldn't you acknowledge that, Scott?
Well, everything's about political muscle,
right?
Ultimately. But
I mean, that's why this is being done.
But again, there's a compelling reason,
right,
not to allow people to get married like that. If you let a mother marry her daughter, you'd have to allow a father to marry his daughter. You'd have to allow that kind of thing, and that could result in inbreeding and so forth. So there's a good reason for that. There's no good reason why my friends can't get married just because they're lesbians.
By the way, we should mention in the next hour, we will introduce you to two lesbians in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They've been together for 10 years, and they're planning to get married tomorrow. We will hear from them in the next hour. Let's go to Morgan, listening to us on KLBJ in Austin, Texas.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
As a supporter of gay marriage, I've been really frustrated with the lack of a truly compelling argument against it from opponents. And, Scott, you touched on a lot of the points that I was going to make, and that, you know, the sexual deviancy argument I don't think holds any water, because there's plenty of straight sexual deviants in this country. I don't think that there are, you know, any relationship that is long-term and loving and caring certainly has no emotional harm. I mean, I think there's only positives in those. My biggest problem with the opposition in this country is that, you know, we have this doctrine of separation of church and state, and I think your dominant opposition group is basing their opposition to gay marriage based on the Bible. And if you take religion out of the equation, I think a lot of the arguments get washed away, and I think religion should be taken out of the equation. So
All right, let's let Brian respond to that. Brian?
Well, you know, the first
thing... You've not talked too much about religion tonight. Well, You've talked about your own personal
The first
beliefs.
Thing is again, homosexuality is all about deviant sex. It's not a peripheral thing. I mean, that is how these
you
people...
You mean you don't think the two people who are let's say that they're older homosexuals. Let's say they're 40, 50 years old. They've lived together for, 20 years. It may not be a lot about sex at that particular point.
The propaganda machine always trots that stuff out. But what it really is about is it's about sex. It's about people who define themselves by sexual practices.
If we're talking about two 50-year-old gay guys versus a 50-year-old heterosexual couple, do you think that the gay couple, because they're 50 years old, somehow they're a lot more oversexed? You can be over 50 and be running out of gas in a variety of different ways.
I mean, I've read enough about the bathhouses in San Francisco of all ages doing all kinds of things. I just as soon not know. But getting involved, with the church and state thing, that is another interesting argument because, this thing about separation of church and state exists in no legal document at all, certainly among the founding fathers. And in fact, a lot of people are...
Yep, we do have to break. 1-800-723-8029. I'll let you finish that point, and we'll take more calls. 1-800-723-8029. Taking America's political pulse tonight on the subject of gay marriage. It becomes legal in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts shortly. 1-800-723-8029. I'm Bruce Dumont. Back shortly from Boston.
Men and women, if you're losing your hair, thinning, or even balding, then I have great news for you. Now you can have up to twice as much hair within 4 months, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the advanced hair regrowth system that contains an active ingredient so effective that it was patented and approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. With Hair Advantage, you'll see dramatic... Hair Advantage lies in recent medical discoveries that show the majority of hair loss is due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage removes DHT from your scalp as the hair regrowth treatment starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half those people experiencing moderate to dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have hair again, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on both men and women. Call now, toll-free, 800-214-6052. That's 800-214-6052.
800-214-6052. From Newport Beach, California, to Newton, Mass., you are listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. Let's go to Charlene, listening to us on WRKO in Boston. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello? Go ahead, please. You're on the air. Charlene, are you there?
Yes. Hi,
go ahead. Speak up. You're on the air.
How are you, Bruce?
I am fine. What's your question?
Well, I wanted to call and put my two cents in. I live in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
But I'm very interested in this because I hope we don't do it. As you know, I'm against it.
Uh-huh.
And I think they have an agenda here.
What's the agenda?
I think I have nothing against gay or lesbians or whatever, but when they throw it in your face in the schools, in the parades that are supposed to be family things, and I think they have an agenda. They're trying to make themselves normal, and it isn't the normal thing. And as far as
let me just stop for a second because a lot of the impressions that people have of gays and lesbians are things that they either see on television or read in newspapers or read about them. Scott, in your view, as you look at the way that this issue has evolved over the last year in this state.
Trying to take the children over in the schools from a very young age, the brainwashing that it's an alternative lifestyle and they want to brainwash.
All right, well, Charlie, my question that I'm asking, I want to get Scott's reaction to, the image of gays... in many cases, perpetuated by gays, with gay rights marches, pride days, and everything else. Have they helped or hurt their own cause?
Oh, I think it's very harmful. And most gay people I know wince at seeing these things. It doesn't do anybody any good. Wanted to respond really quickly, though, to something that Brian brought up earlier, though. Brian had said that homosexuality is really just about deviant sex and so forth, and this marriage thing is therefore, you know, bad. You can have all the deviant sex you want to without marriage. Marriage, if anything, you can make it a very good argument that marriage would get in the way of deviant sex. It makes it kind of hard to go out and have as many partners you want and do all the kinky things you want to do when you commit yourself to one person for the rest of your life. I think that marriage and the opportunity for marriage and opportunity for responsibility for the rest of your life promotes monogamy, promotes responsible behavior, and gives people from the time they're young even the opportunity in their mind that maybe one day they can live the same kinds of commitment and from another person that I could hope for when I was younger.
I mentioned at the beginning of the program, this is the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. The civil rights struggle in America did not happen without a lot of violence. Do you expect violence in any way? What's the tone of life in Massachusetts going to be like starting at midnight tonight?
First of all, there's a great deal of difference. I lived in the South during the civil rights era. I lived in a town where all the blacks lived in an area and they integrated the schools. And there was a huge difference because people fundamentally understood that what was happening was right. There was not violence. There was not even hatred. And I was there. I lived it. It was in the late 60s and early 70s. What is happening here is going to be a lot worse because people fundamentally understand that this is unnatural. You know, and there's a lot of anger.
But passions were high, and when passions are high, violence frequently follows. And my question to you is, on the eve of this historic, very controversial change in the life of a lot of people in this state, do you expect an increase in gay bashing or violence on either side? On either side.
Well, I think that, you know, if you have a lot of two guys pushing it in people's faces, I think that the natural reaction isn't going to be good. And, you know, if I think that that is a possibility. If people say, we're doing deviant things and you better accept it, like what is happening in Canada, you can right now get 2 years in prison for even criticizing homosexuality in Canada. People aren't going to like that in America.
Okay, let's go to Linda, listening to us on Kogo in San Diego. You're on the air. Linda, go ahead.
Yes, I've been listening to your program and having living in California and having spent time in San Francisco, I totally support gay marriage. I'm an estate planning attorney. I understand the legal issues, and I do not understand why the opposition keeps focusing on their sexual behavior. I could care less about their sexual behavior. It doesn't affect me in the least. I can walk up down the streets in San Francisco and see lesbians and gay men, and they're not throwing themselves in my face at all. So I disagree that it's going to harm. I don't understand why you said it's unhealthy, because so far I haven't been listening to any facts to support why it's unhealthy.
Linda, do you expect, one of the concerns, obviously, of those that oppose it, they expect that this is the beginning and this is going to roll across the countryside. Do you think that's likely to happen? What we're witnessing in the state of Massachusetts in 5 or 10 years from now, are we going to be talking about 30 or 40 states that are engaged in the same type of activity?
What do you think?
Because your state is likely to be the next. You'd certainly be in the top five, I would think, given the political climate of your state.
Right, and I do think it's going to happen, and I do see the analogy with Brown education. It's not exactly the same, but I see the political and I see the laws changing, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to be married and have the benefits, because I do not see how it harms anybody.
What is, in closing, Brian, what is the next step in your battle?
Well, there's
we've got about 30 seconds.
There's a bill of address in the Massachusetts legislature to get rid of the judges through constitutional means. It's, you know, as I said.
And also, you've got a rally tomorrow?
There's a big rally on Boston City Hall, 12 o'clock noon. A lot of people are going to be there making a statement.
Brian, on that note, we are out of time. Brian Kammacher has been with us. He is the director of the Article 8 Alliance. That is one of the groups that is opposed to gay marriage in the Bay State. And we thank him for joining us tonight. Scott Allen Miller, we thank you very much as well. Morning co-host on WRKO. I understand you're going to be out working the news beat tonight. Things will be popping in Cambridge, the site of Harvard University, at 12 o'clock this evening is when they will be issuing some licenses. That is it for our number one of our program. Thank you very much for joining us. 1-800-723-8029. Keep the calls coming. In hour number two, we're going to be hearing from a committed couple of the past 10 years, two women in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They will be getting married tomorrow. We will hear their story, and also we'll get a live report from Worcester about what's happening in the towns and villages as they prepare for the big day tomorrow in Massachusetts. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Boston.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little by joining Sam's Club. Sam Walton created Sam's Club to give small business owners the purchasing power of big businesses. So no matter what kind of business you own, when you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. And you can rely on us to carry those products at low warehouse prices. To save you time, we offer click and pull and fax and pull, convenient services to help you order ahead for fast pickup. Place your order at samsclub.com or by fax before 5 p.m. and at no extra charge, it's ready to pick up the next morning. Now that's teamwork, and we'd like to be a small part of your team. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Join the club, Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Gold Bond? I may be the biggest fan of Gold Bond on the planet.
Steve Bailey of Virginia Beach talks about Gold Bond medicated powder.
My first Gold Bond experience was on a golf course down south. I'm on the course. It must have been 100 degrees and 90% humidity. I mean, it was hot. I got a kind of a male itch, and my buddy gave me some Gold Bond, and I was good to go.
Gold Bond medicated powder cools and soothes male itch and irritated skin. Use as directed.
Gold Bond really works for me. Now I use it every day. I mean every day.
Home season 2 of the Emmy Award-winning West Wing on DVD.
Multiple gunshots were fired in President Bartlett.
The season that began with a bullet.
Is the president dead?
And the tension never let up.
I need a doctor! I need help!
On DVD, see footage never shown in the original broadcast. A tour of the Oval Office.
Welcome to the White House.
An introspective look at the making of an episode. And much more.
The day's over, Toby. We'll live to fight another one.
Buy The West Wing, the complete second season, Tuesday on DVD. And also available, the complete first season.
Let's go forward, shall we? And your teenager is now in their 20s, so stoned they can't move, which is how they spent college and why they didn't finish and get the job they deserved or the friends. Wish you could do it over again? You can. If you know your child is smoking pot and drinking, do something. Visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800 because life doesn't rewind. Action. The Anti-Drug.
Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder. Spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Live from Boston, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics. Tonight, coming to you from the studios of WRKO, the talk station, AM 680, Entercom, broadcasting in the great city of Boston. And we are here on the eve of the historic gay marriage legalization here in this state. And joining us in this hour are two residents of the Bay State. They are Chris Ben and MJ Noel, and they are two lesbians. They have been together for 10 years, and this coming week is their big week, and we're going to hear from them in the next hour. We'll also have a live report from Worcester from reporter Carrie Ann Rodriguez of our one of our stations along the network line, WTAG in Worcester, and she's going to be talking about what's happening in a practical level at cities and towns all over the Bay State. But in this hour, we're going to have an opportunity to hear about this story sort of up close and personal, and we'll also be taking your telephone calls. We want to keep those lines open at 1-800-723-8289. Whether you're for this, whether you're against it, you feel free to call up and share your thoughts and opinions. But also, if there are some personal aspects of this you want to talk about, we'll accept those conversations as well. Chris and MJ, thank you very much for joining us on Beyond the Beltway. And let me begin by asking you, MJ, to sort of take us through what is going to be happening and the process, because you're not technically getting married tomorrow, but the process begins tomorrow. What happens?
Sure. Well, tomorrow we actually go and get our license application, and we fill that out anywhere in the state. We're going to go to Cambridge, who they've been incredibly supportive of the gay community. And then 3 days later, unless you get a court, you can get a judge to actually let you, waiver, thank you. You could do it tomorrow, but we're going to wait the 3 days, and in 3 days, on the 20th, most gay couples will start getting married.
And you are going to get married in a church.
Yes, we're going to the Unitarian Church. It's Arlington Street Church in Boston. And they've been marrying gay couples for 20 years, you know, religiously, not civilly.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been incredibly supportive, again, of the gay community. So we've chosen to go there.
Why is it important for you to go to a church?
I was brought up a Catholic. I'm a religious person, and part of marriage to me actually is about, you know, marrying before God. There are many churches who choose not to allow that and don't do that, but the church is part of the spirituality of marriage, so we're really excited about being able to go to the Unitarian Church.
MJ, you heard the first hour of this program. You've been listening to talk radio, reading newspapers, and mm-hmm. probably watching things on television since the Supreme Court, Supreme Judicial Council Court in November said that gay marriage was on its way in Massachusetts. What's the biggest misconception about what you're doing or things that you heard in the first hour that you feel need correction?
That's a great question, loaded. I think that the biggest thing is the sexual part of this, that we're sexual deviants. And, you know, we were speaking earlier that I realized I was gay in my 20s, so I was not a young person. And I was the same person the day before I came to this realization as I was the day after. And I think that, and yet, rights automatically were not going to be mine, knowing that I was now in love with a woman. And I think that the fact that sex is so much, I think that really scares people. I think there's a lot in the gay community. People have just in the last 5 years really felt more comfortable coming out. And so I think that's part of the reason why our movement has gained some momentum, because people are realizing that we're not sexual deviants, that we're actually, Chris and I do laundry. We have a 3-year-old boy. You know, we are about as normal and boring as most of our heterosexual friends. And you know, I like to think we're interesting, but, you know, we're not out there with whips and chains. And, you know, we aren't, and none of our friends are. But, you know, I think as Scott was saying, and we're a microcosm of the rest of the world. And so there are going to be people in the gay community that are into more kinky things, but that as a whole, what we're asking for in marriage is very much being a part of the greater community and not asking for the oddities of sex.
In the last hour, we talked about the perception and versus the reality of at least, you know, most people, if they don't know gay people, their perception comes from what they see on television.
Yes,
it may come from the television coverage of a gay pride parade,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Which sometimes accentuates the more flamboyant sector mm-hmm. of the gay and lesbian community.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
in this battle, in this debate, which has been going on in this state since the November ruling, and also, frankly, what's going to be happening tomorrow or starting at midnight. I mean, there are going to be news operations from all over the world that are descending on this state. What is the concern, what is the fear, if any, that you have of the depiction of what's going to be happening in this state in the next week or 2 weeks? It'll be an old story in 2 weeks.
Right.
But in the next 2 weeks, the pictures of you getting married, exchanging vows, are there concerns or perceptions that you worry about? for the movement, not for you personally?
Gosh, no. I have fears of personal violence, of violence against me. And I think that our community has been amazing the way they've been depicted on air through the Constitutional Convention. And I really haven't been concerned that we would look like sexual deviants on air, or, you know, if you're talking about gay pride and what happens there, I'm not sure that there's going to be that kind of display. I'm comfortable with seeing two women kissing. I think that that might feel like a big deal for a lot of people, but that really, it that does happen, and that is who we are. So if people see that, I'm okay with that. I have had through this whole process some fears of personal violence.
Have you shared that? Do you have that same fear?
Absolutely. I mean, when I first came out and when we were first going through this, actually, I thought of the Nazis and how my whole entire outlook on life changed in terms of my own personal safety. It is hard to, I think during this whole Constitutional Convention, the anger and the hate and the ignorance that we hear, and it's so blatant and it seems so okay for people to feel like they can say those things. Have made me cry, have certainly made me fearful, have made me realize that we have a long way to go in helping people understand what it means to be gay and what it means to have equal rights. And yes, we have always had some fear.
When you get your application, when you get married next week, you hope it's forever. You hope it's, you know, you're going to live happily ever after, till death do you part. However, there's other things that could be happening in the body politic. Courts, court action, constitutional amendments. Have you looked down the road to find out what an unhappy ending might be to this story? And if so, what is it? What's your concern about it? And how do you prepare for it psychologically?
Do you mean in terms of this whole as action or personally?
What if it's overturned at some point? What if somebody wakes up, you know, 2 years, 3 years from now and says, you know what, you're not married anymore, legally.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd have to do a tremendous amount of paperwork to unmarry us. And in our community, I haven't seen too much concern about people who are getting married, that they'd be able to undo us. But honestly, you know, there is something about being married that feels that we're able to join the greater community, that we have greater rights, that we are more legitimate. But we're going to be together. We're going to stay together. It's not going to change our daily life. We'll still have laundry to do.
Okay, we're going to pause. We're talking to Chris Finn and MJ Knoll. They will be getting married next week. We will hear more from them, and also lots of callers on the line. We will hear from them as well as we take America's political pulse on the issue of gay marriage, legalization of same in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It starts at midnight tonight. Back shortly from Boston.
Season 2 of the Emmy Award-winning West Wing on DVD.
Multiple gunshots were fired in President Bartlett.
The season that began with a bullet.
Is the president dead?
And the tension never let up.
I need a doctor! I need help!
On DVD, see footage never shown in the original broadcast. A tour of the Oval Office.
Welcome to the White House.
An introspective look at the making of an episode. And much more.
The day's over, Toby. We'll live to fight another one.
Buy The West Wing, the complete second season, Tuesday on DVD. And also available, the complete first season.
Maybe you think it's normal. Or you're afraid they'll push you away. Maybe you tried pot too and you feel like a hypocrite.
Sweetie,
whatever the excuse, get over it. Because if your kid smokes pot now, they're at risk for serious problems later. Okay. So be the parent. Say something.
We need to talk now.
To help them with their problem, first you have to get over yours. Action. The anti-drug.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Anaheim, California to Arlington, Massachusetts. You are listening to Beyond the Beltway. 1-800-723-8289 is the phone number. We're going to go to calls in just a moment. But the marriage, is it going to be a big marriage, a small marriage, wedding? What are the wedding plans?
Well, we've had our big bash. In 1996, we had a commitment ceremony. So this time we're going to have a more intimate celebration.
Okay. And also, the two of you have not been with other partners. First time for each of you.
Yes, we have
10 years ago.
Somewhat unique story of meeting and falling in love and having to come out and figure it all out at once. It was.
So you came out to each other first time.
Yes. We realized that we loved each other and had to sort of deal with also realizing that we were gay at the same time and certainly had our own homophobia that we had to deal with. We didn't know any gay people. It was like a whole new world.
And it was a long journey to figure this out and to, I think, let go of some of the dreams we thought we were going to have, like a wedding.
We
couldn't have children, and we thought that we would be really have a sad life. And we've had a very good life, and we have a very good relationship. And we feel like we have worked through and been through more than most.
And you have a young son,
yes,
Henry.
Henry,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you have one on the way.
Yes. And one on the way. Yeah, due September 1st.
Yeah. Tell me about Henry.
Oh, goodness. He's a whippersnapper of a 3-year-old. He's actually extremely musical. He's a wonderful child. He has a unique history. He's a cancer survivor. So we've had a unique family history in that we've spent a number of years battling cancer, which is sort of a beside the point, but it's also about how our families are vulnerable to many things.
A question in the first hour was that a lot of the focus seems to be about benefits.
Yes.
When you finally get married, what are the new benefits you're going to have, and is there any other way you could have received those benefits, power of attorney, without going through the marriage ceremony?
Right. Well, you know, we're lucky that we're a middle class family and that we've been able to hire a lawyer and get power of attorney and you know, put all our paperwork in order. But lots of families, because they don't have finances,
it's expensive to do. And one of the things too is legitimacy. I think you know, people don't automatically think when you're two women together. In fact, most people think Chris and I are sisters. And so there's a legitimacy to be able to say Chris is my wife and to wear the wedding ring and to be able to be a part of that section of society that we actually work so hard in our relationship to emulate.
Let's go to a call. Let's go to Jeff listening to us on WLS in Chicago. You're on the air, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please speak up and go ahead.
Okay, good. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to Chris and MJ.
Thank you.
Your story is, I wish I would have been so fortunate to have the same experience that you have. I am gay. I'm 49 years old. And I'd like to say that earlier in my life, I didn't want to rock the boat because I experienced so much homophobia in my life that I thought, why do gay people have to, you know, create a ruckus and say they want to be married? Why can't they just, you know, keep things the way they are? But when we keep things the way they are, we either regress, we don't progress, or we stay the same. And I would love to see an end to homophobia, gay bashing, which I personally experienced myself in my life. And I think that maybe if a homosexual marriage was legalized, that maybe more people would be less afraid to come out and want to pursue a marriage with a partner of the same sex. And the way things are now, we've been bashed so much in the past, even after in the gay world, the term Stonewall era is when the New York City police came in and beat up the customers in a gay bar in the Village in New York.
That was the beginning of the movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It was the beginning of the movement. And I feel like, you know, I've grown up under that oppression. I remember I came out to my family when I was 16, but mm-hmm. that was in, oh my God, Well, I'm 49 now, so it was in the 70s.
Jeff, but let me ask you a question. I want to get everybody's response and those people listening around the country. I mean, we're talking about, and we talked about it in hour number one, the tremendous speed with which this happened in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I say tremendous speed, again, there was a lot of things that happened before last November, but this thing has been rolling down. I know programs that we did following that decision. I mean, there are 38 states that have already banned this concept. There are states, including the state where you're calling from, Illinois, they don't even have an anti-discrimination bill through the General Assembly, controlled all by Democrats. So even some basic rights that you're talking about are not existing in other states. So, it's not necessarily likely that the speed with which the people in Massachusetts have dealt with this is going to be replicated in other states. So it's not likely.
I hope it does. I think have to do things kind of fast and furiously, because if you give it too long, it'll burn out. And I feel like Illinois is one of the more pro-gay states, as far as we didn't have laws like they had in Texas where the police could come in and barge into your house and take you to jail because you were having sex with somebody.
Right. Jeff, we're going to have to move on. I thank you for your call. Let's go to Cogo, where George is listening to us on line 5. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
First of all, I want to preface, you said to ask them a question, and I will. I want to preface it by saying I came out of the homosexual life 22 years ago and never went back. In fact, I co-founded the Gay Defense League of Hollywood, unfortunately, in 1979 with Jack O'Brien.
So you lived a homosexual lifestyle for how many years?
I was in it for 6 years.
6 years, and you got out for religious reasons?
Nope. I left it before becoming a Christian, not after.
All right. So you're against...
It didn't make sense. It wasn't making me happy. I was being destructive of other people. And it just wasn't natural. It's like I kind of woke up one day.
Where do you stand on what's happening in Massachusetts right now?
Well, first of all, obviously, I'm not for chasing anybody with baseball bats. And what people, adults, do in their bedrooms is their business. You know, this thing about police chasing people into their bedrooms, it was stupid. By the same token, though, you can't make something normal that is not.
Are you trying to make something normal that most people think is not, MJ?
Gosh, normal is a loaded word. This is who I am. And, I'm in love with a woman. I have a very healthy relationship with that woman, Chris. And so I guess normal is how you define what normal is. To me, I couldn't live a more healthy, more joyful, more full life. And so if that's not normal, I guess I don't fit into it, but I don't want to because I'm very happy.
George, define for us in your view, in your own life, you said healthy. What does a healthy lifestyle to you mean?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Just saying as far as like for men, and I'm a man, so I can only go from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. First of all, somebody prosaically said, the human anus is an exit, not an entrance. And it is the body's putrid garbage dump, not a playground. Feces, fecal matter, bacteria, men, that is in essence what men do when they're doing things to each other. Sodomy. It is not normal. It is not, like electrician. There's a reason electricians describe, the plugs as male and female. They complement each other. They go together, which kind of tells you God's design. There's a reason for it. It's obviously not healthy playing with fecal matter. I mean, hello? Do these things have to be explained?
No, well, I guess a question I would ask, and then we're going to move on. I don't know.
Will.
I think MJ's got a comment.
Yeah, I just, I think having a son and having, and we're going to have another son, and having so many gay men in our lives, their relationship is not just about sex. And I think that this conversation oftentimes comes down to sex, and yet... their relationships are full. They're whole. Relationships are complicated. Everyone who's calling in, everyone who's listening, who's been in a relationship understands that. And I think that is something I would hope people take away from this, that this is not just about sex. It's about two people in love.
Let's go to Phil on line 3 in Cogo in San Diego. Go ahead, Phil.
Yes, I guess first I'd like to make a comment about something your guest on the first hour closed with. That
yes.
really upset me. He made the comment about growing up in a southern town and how the difference between what's going on now and what happened then is people back then accepted this as being normal and reasonable. That's baloney. I marched in the civil rights marches in the South in the 60s.
Yeah, I don't know what part of the South that was he was in.
Yeah, in fact, there are significant portions of this country today that there are, well, I don't know how significant, but there are portions of this country today who still think blacks shouldn't have the rights that they have. So for him to say that is an insult both to the blacks in the 60s and the gays today. This is a civil rights issue. So that's number one. Number two, the issue of, I believe that this whole issue of gay marriage is, a marriage is two things. It's not one thing. A marriage is a civil issue and it's a religious issue. The civil part of a marriage is required if you're going to have a marriage. You have to have a license. And it's a contractual issue. It's the state interest in a marriage is limited to the idea of a contract. There are financial issues, there are custody issues, etc. And the state sets up guidelines to, and of course, benefits, as the your guests are talking about. The state has an interest in seeing to it that everybody's treated fairly on all of those legal issues. The religious issue, the state has absolutely no interest. It has no interest. It has no right to tell a church or a synagogue or a mosque that it can produce, perform a marriage. It has no right to tell them that they must. That's what the marketplace of ideas is about. If my church allows it and your church doesn't and I like it, I stay with my church. If I don't, I go to somebody else's church or I start my own church.
Right. And in the case of MJ, you went to a different church.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Exactly. You were brought up a Catholic.
Yes,
they didn't
right.
allow marriage, so you changed churches and went to a Unitarian church because it did allow marriages.
That's right.
Bill, we've got to move on. Thanks very much for your call, 1-800-723-8289. We will continue with Chris Finn and MJ Noel. They will be getting married in the state of Massachusetts next week. We will hear more from them. And we will also hear from Carrie Ann Rodriguez. She's going to join us from WTAG in Worcester, bringing us up to date on what's happening in Worcester. Back shortly from Boston.
Every time you smoke a cigarette, you're taking 7 to 11 minutes off your life. For the typical smoker, that can be as much as 10 years. You're nearly twice as likely to die of heart disease and almost three times more likely to die of cancer. By the age of 45, your lung function has already declined at three times the normal rate. If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product specifically developed and designed to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-258-1250. That's 1-800-258-1250. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-258-1250. That's 1-800-258-1250.
From West Hollywood to Worcester, Mass., you are listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. In studio with us, we have Chris Finn. She is a graphics designer for one of the local television stations in town. MJ Noel joins us. She is in the administration of one of the major universities in the Boston area, and they have known each other for 10 years. They had a commitment ceremony back in 1996. And they're getting their application for marriage tomorrow at Cambridge. You have your appointment is at what time tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, no.
Waiting in line.
You're waiting in line. Okay.
Yeah, for the marriage, we have an appointment at 5:20.
5:20. Exactly 5:20.
Yes. 5:20.
And how much time do you have to get married?
20 minutes.
That's it.
It's like a Las Vegas wedding, you know.
And again, you have a son, 3-year-old Henry.
Yes.
And you have one on the way.
That's
and.
Right, yes.
Before we take calls and get we're going to have a live report from Worcester in just a moment. But and again, you are from Worcester, Chris.
Yes.
How do you feel? Do you feel like, getting married is a very personal thing. Obviously, yeah. I can see it. I'm looking at you. I mean, right. There's something a little special going on with you. Right? But, I mean, do you feel like historic figures?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We're really excited about going to Cambridge City Hall. Cambridge has been such a supportive community, and we're so excited about getting the certificate on Monday and doing it on Thursday as quickly as we can. We feel like we're part of history. We're very excited about that.
Okay. Let us now bring into our conversation Carrie Ann Rodriguez. She is the afternoon anchor on WTAG in Worcester, Mass., one of the affiliate stations of the Beyond the Beltway radio network. And Carrie Ann, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Worcester is also, obviously, it's the second largest city, not only in Massachusetts, but in the New England area. What focus and what big news are you expecting to come out of Worcester tomorrow?
Well, obviously, a lot of couples going to Worcester City Hall and a lot of the other local town halls to get married. I think a lot of couples are looking to go to their own communities, go to the cities like Holden and Paxton, the surrounding smaller towns around Worcester and in western Massachusetts, to really just have their wedding in their own community or at least get their license in their own community and be a part of the process.
Now, your city clerk, David Rushford, he initially announced that he was going to open up the record office tonight, but he changed his mind. Why?
There was some talk of that, and the reason why, I firmly believe, is that David Rushford, our city clerk, he's really been at the forefront of what of this entire process, and he really wants to play it by the book, which is really what he's been saying for months and months about this entire process. He wants to go about tomorrow the same way that he would go about any other day. So if a heterosexual couple came in and asked for a license, he would give it to them. He would not question where they're from, whether or not they were eligible for marriage above and beyond what they attest to on their license. And he wants to play it the same way, give the exact same rights, exact same treatment for same-sex couples. He doesn't want them to feel any different than a heterosexual couple coming in, and I think that's why he chose to just keep his normal office hours, and he's going to be opening up at 8:30.
Now, Governor Romney, a Republican governor, Mitt Romney, he has said basically he wants to impose enforce a 1913 law that says if you're coming from outside the state and your marriage would not be recognized there, you wouldn't be welcome and wouldn't be issued a license in Massachusetts, basically letting those from outside the state, basically kind of slamming the door on them. There was some conversation that some city clerks were going to violate at least that dictate by the governor. How widespread is that protest against the governor's edict?
Well, I think it is going to be pretty widespread, and there's a lot of controversy as to whether or not that law is still in effect. I mean, there was an article in the Boston Globe earlier today where the Norfolk County District Attorney actually said that he believed that that law had been nullified by a 1966 or 1967 U.S. Supreme Court decision that basically said a lot of these laws that had been created to prevent interracial marriage were just hereby nullified by that ruling. So there's a lot of interpretation as to whether or not these laws are going to be enforced, but from what I'm seeing out here, a lot of the city clerks are just going to go about their day-to-day. They're not going to be saying, let me see your electricity bill. Let's see if you've been accepted to medical school. It's just they're just going to basically take people at their word and go ahead and issue the marriage licenses.
And once the licenses are issued, there is a three-day waiting period, but there can also be a waiver. Now, why would someone be granted a waiver? Does anybody know a condition that would happen? MJ?
You just have to ask, I believe.
Just ask? But doesn't a judge have to sign it?
Yes.
And that happened on Friday in Worcester. There were dozens and dozens of couples. They had said initially that they were not going to issue the waivers until, I believe it was midday on Monday. But at Worcester Superior Court, there were dozens and dozens of couples who had been issued waivers already.
In the people that you've spoken with, also your district attorney there, Mr. Conte, he has basically ruled what?
he's basically said that it's his job to make sure that the laws of the Commonwealth are enforced, and if someone's in violation of those laws, then it's his job to do something about it. A lot of the district attorneys throughout the Commonwealth are don't seem too enthusiastic about actively pursuing this, and I think that's going to be something that we really need to watch, because I think Governor Romney is really hoping that these DAs will come down. But I know Martha Coakley of the Middlesex District Attorney, she has already said that she is not going to go ahead and come down on any of these city clerks if they do violate that law. Also, William Keating of Norfolk County. And I really couldn't say how strongly, I wouldn't anticipate that John Conte in Worcester County would be coming down too hard on any city clerk that chooses to violate this 1913 accordance.
Now, Boston is the bastion of liberalism in the state, as well as Cambridge, of course, the site of Harvard. It's known throughout the country as a bastion of certainly liberalism in America. How is this issue playing in Worcester? Now, again, Worcester is the second largest city in the state, so it's not some small rural town. But I assume that Worcester is a little more conservative than Boston. And if so, how's it playing there?
Well, Worcester is a little bit different. We've got a lot of conservative Democrats, they like to call them. It's still not Republican County out here, but there are some conservative Democrats. And I would say most people's political leanings within central Massachusetts would be to the conservative Democrat persuasion. Out in this area of the country, though, it does seem, and I've gone and sat in the city clerk's office and seen the reaction of people emailing him and sending him messages and giving him information, and literally he's got 400 to 500 emails on his desk that are positive, and out of all of that response, only 3 of them negative. And these are people who are actively seeking him out. So I would say, for the most part, you do have your people who are against it, but I think Massachusetts is, for the most part, we've always prided ourselves as being the leaders in civil rights, and I don't think that we would want to tarnish that reputation, and that's really what I'm getting from a lot of people in Central Mass.
In your view, also, the Attorney General of New York, Eliot Spitzer, he has weighed in. Tell us a little bit about his position and how that relates to people in New York and Massachusetts.
Well, it's interesting because the Attorney General in New York sent Governor Romney last week a copy of his opinion on the entire gay marriage situation. And he issued that, I believe it was sometime in March. But he indicated that even though gay marriage is not legal in the state of New York, same-sex marriages that are performed in other states will be legal in New York. And that's why, especially in Worcester County, we're seeing just a flood of people from New York State.
Mm-hmm. Today, Archbishop of Boston, Sean O'Malley, expressed a deep sadness over what is going to transpire in Massachusetts, but he went on to caution Catholics to not to express anger against or vilification of any group of people, especially our homosexual brothers and sisters. We talked about this in hour number one. During the course of this debate, hot debate since the Supreme Judicial Court in November, has there been an increase in gay bashing or acts of violence, certainly in your area, Carrie Ann?
Well, we haven't seen that. For all of the yelling and the screaming and the protesting and everything that you see on the news and even to a degree that we report on the radio, the people, the average Joe, is not going out and seeking to, like, is completely outraged by this. And I think a lot of the people that at least call into our station in Worcester are just saying, you know, how is this going to impact me? Is my marriage going to be different if these people get married? How does this change life for me? And I think a lot of the people are coming to the conclusion that it doesn't. Now, in Worcester County, in the Worcester Diocese, we just had a brand new bishop installed on Friday. So automatically, the first thing that we're asking him, you know, what do you think about this gay marriage thing? And I think that what it seemed, obviously he's going to say, you know, he's against gay marriage and he doesn't agree with it and he agrees with the Archbishop. But a lot of what they're saying, I think they're treading very lightly on this because it's still an intense time of healing, a lot of open cases going on. And I think, I don't know, it's kind of like they feel like they don't have steady legs on this issue, and they can't be as strong and come out as powerfully as they would if they were not still dealing with the clergy sex abuse scandal.
Carrie Ann, I thank you very much. That's Carrie Ann Rodriguez. She's the afternoon anchor on WTAG. That's in Worcester, Mass., one of our affiliate stations. We thank you very much for joining us tonight. And to everybody listening to us on WTAG and WRKO in Boston, it's nice to have all of your input this evening. 1-800-723-8289. If you're listening in Massachusetts, give us a call. We've got callers from coast to coast. We'll hear from them when we roll on from Boston. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Sometimes it takes an army to help one child. It's the Salvation Army, and it needs your help to send needy children to camp this summer. To donate, call 1-800-SALARMY or donate online at 1-800-SALARMY.org. This army can't help a single child without you.
Batavia, Illinois to Belmont, Massachusetts. You are listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. And again, we're talking about what's transpiring in the state of Massachusetts. And by the way, a reminder for those listening along the network line and regular listeners to Beyond the Beltway, as you know, it has been another very controversial week in politics as it relates to the presidential race and also what's happening in Iraq and prisoner abuse case and the murder of Nicholas Berg. And we have talked a lot about that in the past. We will obviously talk a lot about it in the future. There's lots to talk about, and it will be topic number one when we return to Chicago next week. But again, we're on the eve of history in the state of Massachusetts as well. And so tonight, that is our focus. Let's go to David listening to us on KOGO in San Diego. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. What's your question?
So my position is somewhat different than many people. I believe that the term marriage has major religious connotations, and that any union between two people, be it homosexual or heterosexual, that is performed by justice of the peace or by a court, should be just termed a civil union because it is devoid of the religious overtone. But a lot of people that are criticizing gay marriage on religious grounds do so without a proper understanding, and that comes to the question of the image of the homosexual community. My question is this: do you believe these people, one of the panelists last hour talked about the promiscuity, do you believe that television shows like Queer as Folk and The L Word paint a skewed picture of the homosexual community on the whole that doesn't help your position when dealing with social issues like these?
All right, let's let Chris and MJ respond to that. Chris,
I'm so sorry.
What's your response?
We don't watch television.
You don't watch television.
But I can.
We watch it very.
You've never seen Queer as Folk?
No.
They haven't. They don't watch Queer as Folk.
We're boring book reading lesbians. No, but
I think, however.
We've seen Will and Grace, though.
What's your reaction to that?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think they're being funny, and I didn't have any really strong reaction about image.
David, what's your answer to your own question?
Well, I mean, I don't have an answer. I mean, my belief is that the gay rights advocates, many of them, try too hard in terms of litigating the issue of gay rights rather than changing social norms. And a lot of people, especially the ones who believe that, with that object on a religious level, feel like they're being strong-armed into acceptance of a people who they don't understand or know. And it's not like segregation in the South, where, you know, if you were black, you were black.
One thing, however, when you talk about images and how images are created, obviously television creates images. And as I said in hour number one, if many people, their image of the gay community, because, you know, unlike Brian in hour number one, I mean, they were not talking specifically about magazines that cater to the gay community or cater to certain sexual proclivities of the gay community or the straight community. But their impression comes from watching the gay pride parade. The nature of television is they're going to turn their camera on what is flamboyant.
Yeah.
And so the people that dress the wildest at the gay pride parade, they're the ones that are going to get on television. Because if we frankly were to put the camera on MJ and Chris, they might think they're too boring.
I mean, literally.
But the reality is you may represent a lot more people,
right.
But that's the reality. In fact, you know what? I don't know how obviously worldwide television is going to depict this issue tomorrow, but I'm going to make a prediction. I will bet there will be more cameras in Provincetown, which has, it's probably one of the gayest communities in the United States,
yes,
whose residents are frequently over the top, that's my word, and I will bet there will be more images coming from Provincetown than from Worcester, Mass.
I think you're probably right.
And so, I may be wrong, but look at the images tomorrow because, and there will be flamboyant people who are getting married or are getting their applications tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, you may, you know, the it's very important, it seems to me, that, you know, as far as the movement is concerned, the movement at this point, they want the face and the voice of this movement to be more like Chris and MJ,
right,
with a child and a committed relationship after 10 years than they do with two other lesbians who may look far differently than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because walking down the street, no one, I think, would pick you out of a crowd, either of you out of a crowd.
No. And I have to say, when I came out to my mom, you know, and this was in 90-something, you know, her first reaction was, oh, my God, I don't want to ever see you on television like those other lesbians. And, you know, she thought I was going to shave my hair. She thought I was going to be all of the stereotypes, as did I when I came out to myself. You know, I had no idea what my life would look like or I would look like. But I think that that is what, and even going to Provincetown, actually, I think you'll see a lot of very ordinary-looking people in Provincetown this time of year, believe it or not. It's the summertime that is more crazy in Provincetown. But, you know, I do think that the cameras will always go, as people do. Look at what's on the news. People love the weird and the strange and the not ordinary. So.
Last word to you. We're about out of time. As you look forward to the week ahead, what's the one thought you want people to know as they try to assess this issue, Chris?
Well, you know, we're a minority, and it takes a long time to get to know who we are, and I just wish people would try to seek out a gay person and get to know who they are individually, because we are so varied. We're an exciting, small community, and, you know, try to get to know us a little bit before you make a judgment about who we are.
Chris Finn and MJ Noel, they have been together for 10 years. It'll be legal next week. Again, congratulations. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
And thank you very much
thank
for
you
sharing
so much.
Your personal story with our national audience tonight. Beyond the Beltway is a Genevieve production produced in association this evening with WRKO, the talk station, AM 680 in Boston. Our thanks to Tom Veracruz and Charles Campbell and Mike Elder and Rich Carberry and Stephanie Tamboleo and John Price and Kia Renee and Dave Burgess out in Los Angeles. It's been a Coast to Coast production. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back next week live. Until then, so long from Boston.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, so it should come as no surprise that if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy, and that's no easy load. Good thing you can lighten it a little at Sam's Club.
Sam Walton created Sam's Club to give small business owners the purchasing power of big businesses. So no matter what kind of small business you own, when you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on items you need every day. And to save you time, we offer click and pull and fax and pull, convenient services to help you order ahead for fast pickup. Place your order online at samsclub.com or by fax before 5 p.m. And at no extra charge, it's ready to pick up the next morning. Now that's teamwork, and we're proud to be a small part of your team. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Men and women, if you're losing your hair, thinning, or even balding, then I have great news for you. Now you can have up to twice as much hair within 4 months, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the advanced hair regrowth system that contains an active ingredient so effective that it was patented and approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. With Hair Advantage, you'll see dramatic results in your very first month of use, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in recent medical discoveries that show the majority of hair loss is due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage removes DHT from your scalp as the hair regrowth treatment starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half those people experiencing moderate to dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have hair again, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on both men and women. Call now, toll-free, 800-214-6052. That's 800-214-6052. 800-214-6052.
Home Season 2 of the Emmy Award-winning West Wing on DVD.
Multiple gunshots were fired in President Bartlett.
The season that began with a bullet.
Is the president dead?
And the tension never let up.
I need a doctor! I need help!
On DVD, see footage never shown in the original broadcast. A tour of the Oval Office.
Welcome to the White House.
An introspective look at the making of an episode. And much more.
The day's over, Toby. We'll live to fight another one.
Buy The West Wing, the complete second season, Tuesday on DVD. And also available, the complete first season.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in the fight to prevent, control, and cure this painful disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more information on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis pain relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.